How transparent are you? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It is Wednesday, and if by this point in the week you're starting to feel overwhelmed by all your responsibilities, duties, obligations, stop, come on, you gotta laugh. Laugh, folks. Laughter's the music of the heart. Laughter's the shock absorber of life's hard knocks. Laughter is pain turned inside out. You don't stop laughing because you've grown old. You've grown old because you stopped laughing. And you don't laugh because you necessarily feel well. You feel well because you laugh. Come on, look, read something that's funny. Tell a joke. Spend some time with somebody who has a great sense of humor. You just find, you know, when you laugh, you bring such oxygen to your body. You know, a sad saint is a pathetic saint. Was it St. Teresa of Avila? I think it said, "Lord, spare me from sad saints." Amen to that, right? So what are we going to talk about today? Well, we're going to talk about the part of the Sermon on the Mount that goes like this. You are the light of the world. No one lights the lamp and puts it under a basket. They put it in the lampstand so all in the house can see. So your light must shine so people can see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. All right? Now you can see why I asked at the beginning of the program the provocative question, how transparent are you? Okay. There should not be hidden agendas in the true follower of Jesus Christ. There should not be double meaners when you tell a joke. There should not be, remember how Jesus, when he first met Nathanael, the Nathanael who said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And when Jesus sees him getting close to him, walking close to him, Jesus, "Here is a man in whom there is no guile, no deceit." Transparent followers of Jesus Christ are not deceitful. They don't talk out of both sides of their mouth. Well, yesterday I talked about salt, how powerful salt is, and all the benefits from salt. We don't talk these days enough about the benefits of salt. Well, what about light? Well, you know, there's no reservations about talking positively about light, you know. I was once in Alaska, and it was a time of the year, it was towards the end of May, and it was like 22 hours of light, and then towards the end of June, you know, before the days start getting dark, there's that one period where it's never really dark. The Alaskans were telling me, you know, the sun will go down and it might get a little, the shadows will be there, but it's never ever complete, it's never completely dark at this time. And the next thing you know, the sun's coming up again. Wow, huh? Or how much people look forward to daylight saving time when you get that added hour of light. Kids love it when they can play outside a longer time. Parents like the fact that the children can go to school when it's not dark. I mean, light is so important. And Jesus, what about Jesus, huh? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus came to bring us out of darkness. Jesus talked about the people who want to live in darkness. We talk about the dark side, don't we? We talk about the power of darkness. We refer to the devil as being Prince of Darkness. So Jesus wants us to be the light of the world. Okay, he wants us to be transparent. He wants our, another place, he wants, what he say, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." These days, we fudge on the truth. We use euphemisms. Like, we won't call it an abortion. We call it vacating the womb. Oh. You know? We don't call it a lie. We call it a disinformation. Wow. You can't, dear listener. You get caught up in that way of talking, that way of thinking. You're not being Jesus to the world. You're not sharing his light with people. You're clouding. We even say you're clouding the topic. You're clouding the conversation. No, we got to be transparent. What you see is what you get is the phrase that I heard a lot growing up. What's that mean? You know, nothing fake. You know? You don't want to buy a car and find out that they turned the speedometer back. You want the real thing. We got to be the real thing. If you're a Catholic and you receive the Eucharist and you really believe that the Eucharist is the real presence of Jesus Christ, once you have the real presence of Jesus Christ in your life, then you become real. The real thing. And you become transparent. People trust you then. They can take your words for what they really mean. They can enter into a covenant with you without feeling like they're going to be deceived or used or abused. Secondly, when we talk about we're called to be the light of the world, then we become like lighthouses, right? We guide people. We guide people in difficult times and stormy times and dangerous times. In places where you've never been before. People who are lost. We become a lighthouse for them. We're a beacon. They know where they can come for shelter. They know where they can come to hear the truth. And what did Jesus say? The truth will set you free. Jesus said the devil's a liar. He's the father of lies. I tell young people when I preach to them, talk to them, spend time with them, don't buy the lie. You know, in the times in which we live, we need to be lighthouses for the lost, for the people who got off the beaten track, for people who are in danger, for people who are having storms, quote unquote storms in our life. And they're desperate right now. We have to guide them to the truth. We have to guide them to Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. In a world that is succumbing to relativism, where there's no absolute truth, where everybody has their own truths, where people are cynical about truth, we have to help people come to know the truth, come to know Jesus, who is the light of the world. So what happens then? What happens when we become the light of the world? Well, it radiates. Light radiates. There's a warmth that radiates from light. There is the presence of God that can be recognized in us. You know, when St. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, at first blush you might say, boy, how arrogant can you be? No. No, I think what Paul was saying, he has put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he paid dearly for that ability to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That again, the people can be sure that Paul was directing them, that Paul's life manifests the will of God, that Paul is, as a matter of fact, somebody that you can trust. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. And then Paul says, you know, that's what we have to do. You know this, don't you, folks? And the only person people are going to meet, the only Jesus that people are going to meet in the flesh this time around is you and I. If we don't do a good imitation of Christ, you know, people are not going to find his teaching attractive. Gandhi said he found Christianity very attractive. His problem was with Christians. Or the cynical writer Nietzsche said, if Christians are supposed to be redeemed, why don't they act like it? We got to act like we're the salt of the earth. We got to act like we're the light of the world. And when we do that, you know, the presence of God is felt in our world. We make Jesus real for people. And our prayer partners are judges. And judges have to do that. Judges are not supposed to make law. Judges are supposed to interpret the law. Interpret the constitutions. And judges who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ better be very, very careful. Jesus said, to those who have much, much is expected of them. That's the whole parable about the 10 talents. Somebody who rises or gets appointed or elected or whatever way he or she becomes a judge, oh, they're going to be held to a higher standard. Yes, they will. Now, today's food for thought, okay? Thank God for what you have and trust God for what you need. That's kind of what I say at the beginning of every Monday and Tuesday's program, right? Trust God for what you need. But don't forget to thank God. Too many people ask for stuff, but don't thank God enough. Today's small tend to make you smile or laugh. A farmer enjoyed poor health for many years and was, in fact, a hypochondriac. He made it a point to visit every new doctor who came into town. As he sat in the waiting room of the newest one, he noticed a sign that said $10 for the first visit, $7.50 for all visits thereafter. So when he saw the doctor, he said, I am glad to see you again, doctor. The doctor said nothing but began to examine him. He tapped on his knee and listened to his chest and began to say, And then he got a real serious look on his face. The farmer asked him, what do I do, doctor? The doctor said, you just keep doing the same thing I told you to do the first time. I love that joke. The doctor got him, right? Hey, want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me know you listened to the program. Send me your prayer intentions. Ask to be put on my mailing list for my newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year and there's no charge for it. And, you know, if you can help me with my hospital for the poor and the sick in Oaxaca, Mexico, one of the poorest places in Mexico, the number one place in Mexico where women and children die at childbirth, could you write a check? Make it to TASH. It stands for the Anacetar Hospital. Make it to TASH, Inc. And send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And don't forget, if you're comfortable using the internet, you can listen to these programs. Say you miss it on the radio. You can listen to these programs on your computer. You don't have to download anything. You just hit the button. You can listen to it at your convenience. And there's a lot of other good stuff that would make you want to visit my website on a regular basis. Okay? FatherScott.com. Spell it Father. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee.